Welcome back to the Duncan pregame show, powered by the new Duncan Coconut Refreshers. We're bringing the head coach, Bruce Cassidy. Bruce, the identity to the Bruins and your team is how it defends. So where would you like to see an adjustment here tonight?
Gaps in the neutral zone. I thought we gave them the blue line a little bit easily, the inside ice, and they got some good slot looks. Obviously, reloading with our second and third forward, making sure you're coming back through the middle, be there on time. I think there was a couple situations where their D beat us to the good ice there as well. I thought down low we did a decent job, Judd, for the most part, in the D zone, protecting the slot. You know, there's one faceoff. I know we give up a real good chance, got picked, so we'll have to look at that to make sure that that's not a situation that happens again. But to me, it's more about that second layer getting up the ice and making it a little more difficult for them to enter the zone.
Connor Clifton's going to make his playoff debut this season with the Bruins, stepping in Jeremy Lauzon's place. How can he influence game two?
Well, we'd like Cliffy to just play good, solid hockey. So his best attributes are when he's quick, moving the puck, getting it up to the forward's hands, joining the rush, and then being physical. He's a guy that likes to, he's not a big man, but he does hit hard. He's able to get there and finish you. So equalize some of that or neutralize some of Washington's forecheck with counter hits. He's one of those better guys at kind of counter hitting when there's, you know, the puck's in his feet and sort of turning a physical situation for their team into a positive one for ours. And that's some areas he's been good. He's been good on the penalty kill. He's willing to block shots if that's the job requirement. So a lot of those, you know, dirty area game stuff in the game he's good at, and hopefully keeps his puck moving clean.
The other thing you mentioned the other night, and I was hoping you could go into a little bit more detail, how can the Bruins escape some pressure and find ice in game two?
Well, some of it is that original breakout. Their D likes to press down, so our wingers have to find the available ice and have underneath support. We saw it early in the game. Grizz wheeled the net, found Pasta wide, so we kind of went right through their forecheck, and all of a sudden you're on a two-on-one, right? So they will break down in those areas if they get aggressive. So some of it is just good heads-up play and moving well with the puck, and that's being on your toes. Obviously, they're a physical team, so you got to be careful and play with your head up, but that's one area that, you know, with our breakout, if guys are wheeling and willing to, you know, skate around that first guy, if they don't have a good angle, then we can get going. And I think in the ozone, just understanding they're pressuring everything and jumping stuff, so short support plays, but also using your one-on-one skills to get out of trouble with tight turns. Now with long D like that, that's easier said than done, but when you do that in a man-to-man system, they're going to break down, and then you get to the open ice behind the net, all of a sudden you're putting pucks to the slot. Even the late chance by Pasternak's a good example of that short side where we separated. You're going to get some looks like that. We just got to get more of them.
The Caps directed some of their physicality toward David Krejci in game one. What impact did that have, and where can he be more of a driver tonight?
Yeah, he got hit hard by Ovechkin, and just one of those ones that just set itself up. It happens probably every once in a while. David's not usually a guy that gets caught in the tracks like that, but he was fine after that. I thought the puck didn't cooperate with his line a lot that night. As I said, I think the puck was bouncing for both teams quite a bit. That's why you didn't see maybe a lot of high-end plays. The goals were typically get it to the net, let it rattle around, most of them. And you saw even in the last goal, the puck seemed to be hopping around, even though it was a crawl down Tuukka's shirt. So it's just one of those nights where the puck was like a jelly bean. And we've got to make sure that if that's the case again tonight, that it's on the net, force them to, you know, control those bouncing pucks. And then hopefully you get some second chances just by being in their face and getting some rebound situations.
Should your team attack Craig Anderson any differently than you would Vitek Vanecek?
Yeah, I mean, he's a little old school. Craig stays on his feet a little more, certainly will spit more rebounds. He's a little more aggressive with his stick around the front of the net, so you got to be careful if you're going to make some moves in tight. He's pretty good at poke checking pucks away. He plays pucks better, so in your dump-ins will have to be, you know, or puck placement have to be better in those areas. But I think at the end of the day, if you create traffic on goaltenders, force them to control rebounds and fight to find pucks, it doesn't matter who's in there. That makes it more difficult on them. That's the first message we always try to send, and that will be no different tonight.
Now that you're starting to get a feel for the series, are there any matchups up front or on the back end, if you get an opportunity to get them, that you'd like to emphasize?
Well, we'd always would put Berge's line against Backstrom. We think that's a good matchup. They got away from it. I don't know that there was a dominant situation out there for either team in terms of, hey, we just can't live with this. Obviously, there's advantages, disadvantages. Grizz and McAvoy as a pair are real good offensively. Is Grizz the best bet to play against Amantha and Ovechkin? Those are the decisions we have to make, where we were thinking of moving Lowe's on, but Lowe's out now. So Grizz might just have to, use his hockey acumen to handle that if we end up going down that road. We like Grizzin, McAvoy with Bergeron. If they keep Backstrom away from it, do we upset what we're doing? Just to, you know, so there's always those little gamesmanship involved. Kevin Miller's always good against the bigger guys. So hopefully if it's Clifton, he'll be physical. And sometimes you just rotate guys through as well, you know, some different looks until you find out the best matchup you have. But tonight, I think on the road, Judd, honestly, chasing matchups can really disrupt the rhythm of your team. So we're just going to try to play, get the best matchups we can and go from there.
Good luck tonight here in game two, Bruce.
All right, thank you.
That's the head coach, Bruce Cassidy. Stay with us. The Bruins and the Capitals are coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.